You may be seated. You know, oftentimes when you value something, something is a treasure to you, you show others, you talk about it, you put it on display. For example, a couple months ago, there was a knife show here in Troy, and I have kind of a thing about knives. I like them. And I was thinking I'd like to get a really nice knife someday. And so Joel and I actually went to the knife show, and I walked in, and right at the very first table there, I thought, man, I really like that knife. That man, it had a good feel to it and everything. And I thought, I wonder what he's asked for. So we walked through the whole place, and I came back to that first table again, and I thought, you know, how much do you want for that knife? And he told me, and I was like, oh, man, I'd really like to get that knife. So I left, and I went to the ATM, and I got the money, and we talked about it. And make a long story short, I got the knife. And I really like that knife. In fact, I brought it here this morning because I just wanted to show you. And it is really nice. I mean, it is beautiful. It is a work of art. It is hand-forged. Hand-forged knife. I mean, look at that. Isn't that shiny and nice? You can see yourself in that. It is just beautiful. It has a nice oak handle on it, good feel to it. Really sharp. It's one of the few knives I've ever purchased that I could actually shave the hair off the back of my hand. I mean, this thing is nice. I thought about passing it around and letting you take a look at it, but I thought better of that. But if you'd like to see it after the service, I would love to show you my knife. I treasure it. I value it. I really like it. And I want you to see that. But you know, sometimes when you have something, a thing like that, that you treasure, you might bring it out once in a while and show people. But boy, don't touch it. And you put it into a safe for safekeeping, or you put it on display because, you know, it's a treasure. You value it, and it is important to you. Now, that's things. It may be a knife, or it may be a gun collection, or it may be jewelry. Maybe you have some fine jewelry and you keep it hidden. Oh, you wear it, you know, once in a while, but do you keep it hidden? Or maybe some family heirloom, you know. That's kind of what we do with things that are valuable to us, that are things. But this morning, I want to think for you to think about the value, much like we touched on last week, of a relationship. To focus upon a relationship which you value. When someone is special to you, when a relationship is valuable to you, you treat that individual much differently than an heirloom, right? You don't hide them away. You don't lock them up or put them on display. You think of the value of a relationship that you treasure that relationship, right? It may be that if you're married, and it should be, that you treasure your spouse. You value your relationship with your husband or your wife. Or if you're dating, it may be a boyfriend or a girlfriend. Or if it's your children or grandchildren. By the way, have I told you about my grandchildren lately? You know, just so sweet to hold the grandbaby, you know. To treasure that relationship. Or maybe another relative or a friend. But the point is that if you value a relationship, you treat that individual special. They're your highly prized treasure. And if you think about that individual, you think about them often if they're treasured, if they're valuable to you. You think about them often. You spend time with that individual. You talk to that person. You listen to that person. You're attentive. You want to hear what they have to say. You care for that relationship. You nurture the relationship. You want to see that relationship grow, don't you? You don't take that relationship for granted because you love that person. You cherish that person. That person is special to you. And so as I want you to remember that as we continue in our study through the book of Matthew, we're in chapter 13, so go ahead and turn to Matthew chapter 13. And we heard Jesus just recently telling parables, true-to-life stories that Jesus used to illustrate or emphasize spiritual truths. And last week, we learned through the parables that God's kingdom has the greatest eternal value. There is nothing of greater value than the kingdom of God. We sang about that here this morning. And today we're going to look at why His kingdom is of such great value. So this is the why. This is the value of God's kingdom specified. So we come to verse 53, Matthew chapter 13, verse 53. And when Jesus had finished these parables, He went away from there. And coming to His hometown, He taught them in their synagogue, so that they were astonished and said, "Where did this man get this wisdom and these mighty works? Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary? And are not his brothers James and Joseph and Simon and Judas? And are not all his sisters with us? Where then did this man get all these things?" And they took offense to him. But Jesus said to them, "A prophet is not without honor except in his hometown and in his own household." And he did not do many mighty works there because of their unbelief. So what's going on here? What has just happened? Jesus just finished teaching on the fact of his kingdom's inestimable value. And yet, upon returning to his hometown, now his hometown was Nazareth. A little while back, we were studying that he was in Capernaum. It was kind of his adopted hometown. Nazareth was about 20 miles southwest of Capernaum, and it was southwest of the Sea of Galilee. So he returned to his hometown, the town of Nazareth, and runs into some skeptics. Look at verse 54. He teaches in their synagogues, and they were astonished. Where did this man get this wisdom and these mighty works? How did he become such a fancy pants? You know, he's just the son of Joseph. I mean, he's the son of a carpenter. And his mom's name's Mary. We know her. I mean, what's the big deal here? And are not his brothers, James, Joseph, and Simon, and Judas, and are not all his sisters with us? He's just one of us, just another one of the kids. Now note that Jesus did have half-brothers and sisters, and that which indicates that Mary was not a perpetual virgin. See it right here in the text, as some teach. Where did this man get all of these things? They were in essence saying, he's just one of us. He's just a normal guy. When did he become such a big deal? Look at verse 57. And they took offense at him. Really? I mean, they were put out by Jesus. They got their nose all bent out of shape over Jesus. Look at the jealousy. I mean, you think about it, just on a human level. They couldn't understand that one of their own could rise to such a level. And what this amounted to was that Jesus spoke with such power and authority that they would have to submit to his authority, and they didn't like it. He's just a kid. And so Jesus states the fact, a prophet is not without honor except in his hometown and in his own household, meaning that it was right to honor a prophet. However, as often is the case, those closest to the prophet would not honor him appropriately. And that's what you see here in this case. Jesus' hometown folks did not recognize Jesus for who he really was. He's just a carpenter's son. And I say, no, he was God the Son, the Savior of the world. He was their Savior, if they would only believe. And they missed it. Look at verse 58. And he did not do many mighty works there because of their unbelief. You know, it's interesting to me that Jesus didn't push the issue. He didn't argue the point. He didn't try to defend himself. He didn't call fire out of heaven. There they go. You know? He simply did not do many mighty works there because of their unbelief. So here's what I see happening here. Jesus just finished his teaching about the value of his kingdom. Heaven. We talked about that last week. It's like, whoa, man, that is just so awesome. And then it's noted that he's rejected by his own. So here's your take-home thought this morning. The value of God's kingdom is found in Jesus. The value of God's kingdom is found in him. God's kingdom has the greatest eternal value. There is nothing of greater value. His kingdom is of such great value because of his kingdom. It's not just a place. It's where he is. And he's invited you and me to be a part of his kingdom and be welcomed into his presence. Now that's valuable here this morning. So we want to look at some truths that indicate the value of Jesus. And these are really reasons why Jesus and a relationship with Jesus should be of value to you. This is why you should treasure your relationship with Jesus. We're not talking about a thing. We're not talking about something that you put on display or hide and lock it up. We're talking about something that is of great value, a relationship with Jesus. So here's why. First one is, the wisdom of Jesus is beyond comprehension. Verse 53, and when Jesus had finished these parables, he went away from there, and coming to his hometown, and he taught them in their synagogue, so that they were astonished and said, where did this man get this wisdom? Earlier in our study, actually back a page or two, chapter 12, you can take a look at it. In verse 42, Matthew chapter 12, 42, we read that the queen of the south, meaning the queen of Sheba, you can read about that in 1 Kings. The queen of Sheba, the queen of the south, will rise up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it. For she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. Remember talking about that? And I got all excited about, wow, look at this. You know, the wisdom of Solomon. And then he goes on to say in this verse, and behold, something greater than Solomon is here. What was that? It wasn't a thing. It was a person. With wisdom greater than Solomon, and that's Jesus. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 23 to 25, Paul says, we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to the Jews and a folly to the Gentiles. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. Jesus is the wisdom of God. And the Word of God is packed full of the wisdom of God. And I just encourage you to seek it out. That's why last week we encourage you to spend time with God in His Word. Spend time in God's Word, reading it, studying it, memorizing it, meditating upon it. And you know, it shouldn't be an afterthought, but rather a prominent thought, because you treasure your time with Him. And you go to the Word of God looking for truths that are going to teach you, that are going to encourage you, strengthen you, convict you. Motivate you. I was just reading in 1 Kings yesterday and had some other things going. I thought, you know, I want to sit down and I want to meet with God. And I got my paper Bible out, just, you know, and just reading through that. And oh my, I was looking at all the struggle with the kings and Jeroboam and Rehoboam and all. And I read something about a prophet and the prophet's obedience. And it spoke to my heart. And then it broke my heart when the prophet was disobedient. I'm like, oh, man. It just challenged my heart. And I just prayed. I just, oh, God, just I pray that you'll guard my heart as I minister your word. And again, it was just the excitement and the thrill of meeting with God. And I encourage you to look at your time with God not as, oh, I got to go check it off. I got to go have my devotion. So, you know. No, you're meeting with God. Because you treasure your time with Him. You treasure your relationship with Him. It's like treasuring your parents. I don't know if I'll get this right, but have you ever heard the stages of a son's relationship with his dad? Start out, you know, and it's like, Dad's my hero. You know, oh, he's the greatest. Oh, Dad, he's most wonderful. And then they get into their early teens and it says, yeah, Dad's pretty good guy. You know, He teaches me certain things and everything, and get into the teenage years and it says, oh, Dad. Oh. And then get into your 20s and 30s and say, yeah, that's a pretty good guy. I'm going to go over and learn a few things from Dad. And then get older and says, man, I just love those times that I have with Dad because they're not going to be very long. And then Dad passes away and then it's like, oh, I wish I could call my dad and talk to Dad. Because of the wisdom that my dad has. And I've talked to some of you who have lost a father or a mother and have actually heard some of you say, man, I just miss my dad. I miss my mom. I wish I could call her and just find out how she made that potato salad, you know. It was just so good and I just can't get it right. And we cherish those times because of a relationship and because of the wisdom that we find in that. And just think about that. You have the wisdom of very God right there in His Word. That's why it's called the Word of God or God's Word. He has spoken. We tend to want, you know, some mystical experience. Oh, I just wish God would speak to me. I wish He would tell me what to do or where to go or how to do this or that. It's like, listen, God has spoken. You need to look no further. You don't add to His Word. You don't take away from it. He's given everything you need. Check me out. 2 Peter 1, verse 3. He has given you everything you need for life and godliness. Isn't that awesome? Through these very great and precious promises. In His Word, you find His wisdom. It is beyond comprehension. Here's another truth that indicates the value of Jesus, and that is the works of Jesus are incalculable. Look at verse 53 again. Jesus finished the parables, went from there, came to the hometown, taught in synagogue, so that they were astonished and said, where did this man get this wisdom and these mighty works? Here's this hometown boy who has all this power and authority, and they were skeptical and unbelieving. You would think that they would be excited, that they would be proud, they would be impressed. Just a week ago, you had the finale of American Idol on television, all right? And there were three finalists, and the week before, during that, the week prior to the final show, the week prior, they flew each of these finalists, these three finalists, home from Hollywood to their hometown in a private jet. Could you imagine? You know, they're 18. They're just kids. You know, they fly home in a private jet. And I'm here to tell you, if you didn't see it, I mean, the people turned out in droves. I mean, thousands of people from their hometowns, and they would go to a stadium and they had concert and just thousands of people. Yeah, we love you, Caleb, and everything. And you would think that here comes Jesus. He's our hometown boy. Yeah, preach it, brother. No. Bunch of skeptics, jealous. Who does he think he is? Challenge here is to allow the works of Jesus to impact your life, to impact your heart. And we see the works of Jesus in His Word, right? We've been going through the book of Matthew, and man, we've seen Jesus heal blind people. We saw him heal a person who could not speak. We saw him heal a lady who had been bleeding for 12 years. And all she did was touch his garment and she was healed. We saw him heal a man. They tore the roof open. They wanted this guy to get to Jesus who was lame. He couldn't walk at all. And he healed him. And forgave his sins. He raised Jairus' daughter. I mean, you talk about the works of Jesus. I mean, oh my goodness. And they're no doubt heard about this. And where did this guy get all these works? But we've seen it. We've seen it in his word. You know that I love the outdoors. I love going out early morning and getting in the woods there and just like the birds start chirping and you just start. And man, I love sunrises, and so often I see a sunrise, and it's like the mercies of God are new every morning. Great is His faithfulness. I just like, it's awesome. Been out fishing this week, you know, just out there. Yeah, caught 2 fish the other day. You know, hours fishing. One thing's because I just love the outdoors. It's the creation of God. I take pictures, you know, sunrises, and yes, the other day I had a goose, a gander, and goslings. You know, they're right out here. Take a picture of them. You know, just a little fuzzy bird. You know, Anyway, you get the picture. I enjoy that. It's the works of God. And then. Just this week. Did I tell you about my grandbaby? Just yesterday, holding the grandbaby. It's like, oh my goodness. That little grandbaby, right on cue. Oh, my grandbaby. I mean, all the parts, just so tiny. And she's living. And she's, searching for mommy. Dad, you're holding her wrong. She wants to eat. It's amazing. It's a work of God. So you see all of those things, and then think about the work of God in your own life. And many of you can relate to that. How when you realize that you were a sinner, that God, who enabled you to realize that, He took your dead, sin-sick soul, dead in your transgressions and sins, separated from God, without Him for eternity, and He made you alive as you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, who died and rose again for you. That's a work of God. Only God could take a soul that was dead and bring it to life. That is a work of God. And so you have that testimony, many of you. If you don't, we invite you to come to Jesus today. It's the greatest work of God that you'll ever experience. And we look at that with people around us and think, wow, just think of the testimonies of God right here at FBC. It's just awesome to think. And here we have the very works of God. So allow His works to impact your life. And you recognize all that, you recognize His value. Wow. Only God can do that. So, we see His wisdom. We see His work. But here's another truth that indicates the value of Jesus. We've said it before, I'll say it again. And that is simply that Jesus is God. Jesus is God. There's not much greater value than that. He's not a mere man, though He is a man. He had an earthly father, Joseph. His mother was Mary. He had brothers, James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas. He had sisters. He was truly human. He was physically born. He got hungry and ate. He got tired and slept. He experienced emotion and got sad and wept. He got hungry and cleansed the temple. He loved and had compassion. He experienced torturous pain and died. He experienced temptation by the evil one. In the desert, he experienced temptation in the Garden of Gethsemane. He was tempted in every way, just as you and I are, yet without sin. Jesus, yes, he is a man, but he's God. He's not merely an anointed man, though he was anointed. I think back in Matthew chapter 1, when an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which was conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. Jesus is God with us. He's not merely a prophet, though he was a prophet. The point here is that Jesus is God. Don't miss it as the people of his hometown did. Jesus is God, and he invites you and me to have a relationship with him. That's another good place for an amen, right? God of all creation invites you and me to have a relationship with him. He is Emmanuel. God with us. If you have believed and you have received that salvation, he's with you. He came to that which is own, John 1 says. He came to that which was his own people. And here specifically we can apply it to his hometown. He came to that which was his own, and his own received him not. Yet to as many who receive him, to them he gave the power to become the children of God to those who believe on his name. You know, think about that. God with us. If you have trusted Christ the Savior, God is with you. And you have a relationship with him. And a relationship means that, yes, he is with you and you will be with him. He is for you, and so you will be for him. He cares for you, and you will be grateful and acknowledge his care. He protects you, and you will recognize his watch care over you. He listens to you through prayer. You have a relationship with God? He listens to you. He desires to hear your prayers. You understand that, and it will transform your prayer life. If you fully understand it, it's not just a, now I lay me down to sleep, Lord, I pray my soul to keep me. No, you look forward to talking to God, to confess your sin before him, to give him worship and praise and adoration from your heart as you pray to him and thank him, and then pray with prayer requests, not just reading through a prayer list so I can get through it so I can move on with the rest of my day. Amen. No. You worship, you pray to him, and you understand that. And he speaks to you through his word, and so you're going to listen to his word attentively. You're gonna look forward to those times with his word because you have a relationship with him. You want to hear from him and what he has for you through his word. And you will worship him. If you treasure him and value your relationship, you're going to worship him. Now, I submit this. You're not going to merely go through the motions of worship when you come to worship. The extent, now listen, the extent to which you treasure your relationship with Jesus will have a direct impact upon the way in which you worship him. The extent to which you treasure your relationship with him will have a direct impact upon the way in which you worship him. You won't merely go through the motions. So that when you come and worship together corporately, you do, of course, you do this personally as well. But as you come and worship corporately, you're not just going to just go through the motions. stand up, sit down, do this, do that when you're told to do it. You're going to worship with all your heart. Why? Because we have an audience of one. It's not just a matter of the worship team up here singing and we listen to them and, yay, they're doing a good job. And they do. But what they're doing is they're leading you and me in worship before our Almighty God, who's listening and who desires to hear your worship of Him from your heart. To the extent that you treasure your relationship with Jesus, it will have a direct impact not only on your worship, but in the way in which you obey Him. 1 John chapter 5 says that you love Him and His commands are not burdensome. It's not like, oh, here we go. I got to go do that for Jesus. Or the way in which you serve Him. Oh, yeah, I forgot. This is my week. Really? Who are you doing it for? The way in which you treasure your relationship with Him is going to have a direct impact upon the way you worship Him, obey Him, the way in which you serve Him. Yes, I get the opportunity to get my hands dirty for Jesus because I love Him. The fact that Jesus is God really boils down to the matter of authority, doesn't it? If people of Jesus' hometown acknowledged Jesus for who He was, then they would have to submit to His authority. Look at verse 54. And they said, where did this man get this wisdom and these mighty works? They recognized the wisdom and power of Jesus, and they were evidently intimidated by Him, or they were jealous of Him, or they were resentful or resistant to His authority that they recognized in Him. I think back to Jesus after the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 7, that when Jesus had finished preaching the Sermon on the Mount, the crowds were astonished at His teaching. And Matthew 7, verse 29 says, because His teaching, He was teaching them as one who had authority. And as Jesus came into His hometown and they saw, whoa, this guy preaches with power. We're going to have to submit to him or not. Our culture has a problem with authority. I just yesterday I heard that since the first of the year, 26 police officers have died in the line of duty since the first of the year. 26. Last year it was just 35 total through the whole year. This year, oh my. Who knows? I mean, at this rate, it'll double that at least, right? Do you think we have a problem with authority? Think of children and their attitude toward parents. Now, I think some of it is a parental problem. Parents, teach your children to honor authority. When I was a kid, things have changed. I'm not saying we have to go back to that. But my mom and dad, everybody older than I, as far as adults, were Mr. or Mrs., right? Mr. So-and-so, Mrs. So-and-so, Mr. and Mrs. And so when I went into the ministry at 21 years old, I was an assistant pastor at 21, I was introduced to Larry and Angela Bray. And so I said, hi, Mr. and Mrs. Bray. Oh, come on, you know, you're an adult now, you know. You're our pastor, you know. You can call us Larry and Angela. Okay, thank you, Mr. Bray. You know, and teach your kids to honor authority. But we see that, don't we? The kids in our culture don't honor authority. Whether it's parents or whether it's teachers or whether it's the police officers or pastors or the president. I used to tell my kids, you know, you got it easy. All you have to do is obey. The one command that, well, it gives two, doesn't it? But one of the commands that it gives to parents or to children is to honor their parents, okay? But the other one is obey. You got it easy. Just obey. And all you have to do is obey. And I guess they didn't think it was the easiest thing ever. But anyway, and unless I tell you to do something sinful. But anyway, the point is, if you don't have a right attitude toward earthly authority, then you won't have a proper attitude toward the authority of the Lord. What a tragedy to fail to recognize Jesus for who He is. Emmanuel, God with us, to whom we are accountable, to whom we must submit. The wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, whose government and reign shall not end. And when you recognize Jesus as God, it is understandable that a relationship with Him is of great value. Are you willing to submit to Him as Lord? Now, as you think of all of these things, do you understand better the value of the kingdom of God? Because it's not just a place. It's a person. And that person is Jesus. The value of God's kingdom is found in Jesus. And if the value of God's kingdom resides in Jesus, then value your relationship with Him. He is Lord. Is He your Lord? Do you value Him? He is your treasure. He's not an untouchable, unreachable, unapproachable deity, but one who calls you friend if you have believed that He is Lord and He is your Lord. Then if that's the case, you'll love Him. You'll obey Him. You'll serve Him. And there's blessing in living in obedience to Him. You are blessed as you value your relationship with Jesus. And when you truly value a relationship, that relationship is a delight. I remember back in the tsunami of 2004, the beginning of 2005, I was invited to go on a missions trip to the tsunami affected area in Thailand. And it was just an unbelievable experience. Just did some teaching and training and so on, and went down to that area and talked with the folks and tried to minister Jesus. And then I had an opportunity to go to China twice. What was interesting about that trip is all of those trips were about 3 weeks long. And, I mean, before I left, I missed my wife. I mean, it's like, oh, man, I'm really going to miss you. I wish you could go with me. Oh, I know, honey, but, you know, go. And, I mean, before we got on the plane, hey, honey, I just want you to know we're getting ready to take off. I don't know when I'm going to be able to call you again, but I want you to know I'm praying for you. And oh, I'm praying for you, you know. And so we take off and we fly over there and I could not wait till I could Skype. Back then, the international plans were like $800,000, you know. And there's no way we could text or call or, you know. So I would look forward to Skype and can't wait to talk with Teresa, my wife. And I mean, the guys, they just got, I'm sure they're like, oh man, they keep talking about his wife again, you know. And Teresa, oh, I wish Teresa was here. Oh, Teresa would love that. Oh, look at this. Teresa would love this. And oh man, I wish I could tell Teresa about what happened today. And the gifts. Oh, my. Oh, Teresa, she loves jewelry. Look at this. Oh, she loves rubies. Oh, I got to get that for her. Oh, man, this is so cool. I got to buy a gift for Teresa. Oh, man, you know, buy a separate piece of luggage to take all my presents home for Teresa, you know. It's like, why in the world? And then I couldn't wait to get back and just tell her all about it and show her all the pictures. Why would I do that? Because I treasure my wife. I value my relationship with her. It wasn't a burden. It wasn't like, oh, here we go. I got to get her another gift. You know, I got to buy something else for her. No, it was, I love her. And when you value a relationship, that's the way it is. And that's the way it should be in your relationship with God. You look forward to those times when you can get with God, when you can talk with God, when you can share with Him and hear from Him, listen to Him as He speaks to you through His Word. Wow. Let's take these truths to heart here today and understand the true value of what we have in Jesus. Father, help us, I pray. I pray that You would convict our hearts, encourage our hearts, strengthen our hearts as we think of the value of our relationship with You through Jesus Christ. Oh, we have so much. And yet we so often tend to take it for granted, or we look at it, it's like, oh man. But no, Father, I pray that we would grow in this, that we would nurture our relationship with You to grow in Your grace because of Your work in our lives. May we be sensitive to the power of Your Spirit working in us, even here and now today. With heads bowed and eyes closed, I encourage everyone to fill out a communication card. But on that card, whether it's the one from the pew in front of you or from YouVersion or from our website, put down on there how God may have spoken to you through His Word here today. And some of you are like, yes, I just love my relationship with God. And I look forward to those times with God. But yet nobody's arrived. So, you know, maybe it's just a word of praise. Thanking the Lord for all that you have in Jesus. Or maybe something specific about your relationship with Jesus. Or maybe a way in which you need to grow in your relationship with Jesus. But there may be someone who says, you know what, I don't have the relationship with Jesus that I ought to have. Pray for me. There may be someone who says they don't have a relationship with Jesus at all. And you say, I want that. If it's personal and private, just check for pastors only. We'll be praying for you. Or if you'd like to get with us. Again, put that in the offering plate here in just a moment. Along with your offering, think of it. Don't think of offering as like, oh. Think of it as, wow. What a blessing to be able to give back to the Lord a portion of what He's given to me. Just a whole different perspective on the relationship, right?